Well, greetings, all of our family and friends. I'm so glad that you're joining us today for our Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast. This is your host for today, Apostle Nathaniel Leon, and I'm glad you're here. We're praying that God's grace would rest upon each and every hearer today and that he would get glory in this time. I'm going to give you just a moment, if you can, to be sure to share the podcast, like the podcast, let somebody know on. We're believing that God is going to grant grace. God bless you. Sister Melissa, so good to see you. We pray the word of God and the blessing of the Lord over each and every hearer today, and that the presence of God would rest. So good to see you, Sister Melissa. Brother Daniel, God bless you. Rosina, thank you for joining us. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to do that work of the evangelist, to share the podcast, let somebody know we're on. I'm going to do the same. Bless you, Sister Josephine. God bless you. Welcome, Brother Minister Ruben. So good to see you. Anna, so good to see you. Thank you for being with us. We believe God is going to minister in a mighty way, and that there would be a release of God's mind and God's heart over this time. So I'm glad you're with us. We pray the blessing of the Lord over each of us today. I'm doing the same. I'm grabbing my device here. If you can help us, bless you. Sister Joemma, so good to see you. Sister Morgan, thank you. If you can grab your phone and hit that share button, hit that follow button. Make sure you're following us. We believe that God is going to minister greatly in a very, very powerful way, and that God is going to be glorified. So thank you for joining us. Let us know where you're joining in from so we can welcome you and keep that region in our prayers. We believe that there's power in agreement, so that when we come into prayer and we begin to seek the Lord, we believe there's nothing impossible as we come together to agree and to stand in faith. So again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. God bless you, Sister Margaret, Sister Rose Bonet. The Lord bless you and your husband, Sister Denise. Thank you. We're glad you're here. We believe the Lord is going to minister to us in a great way, and that God is going to get the glory in our time of ministry. So thank you for being with us. We pray God's favor over you and over your family. I want to wish you a very blessed resurrection weekend. This is one of the most important weeks, I believe, of the year. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, it is the week that we celebrate and we commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Bless you, Sister Mary. Thank you for being here. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to one more time share the podcast, like the podcast, make sure you're subscribing on that YouTube channel, and we believe God is going to minister greatly today. Let's get right to the word. Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you just to open up our ears to hear and hearts to discern. I ask you for vision, revelation, insight, and counsel. Reveal your truth and make clear to Lord today what you want to speak. I pray every distraction, every hindrance would be bound in the power of your word, and that you would get glory and honor through this time together. Speak to our hearts and minister to our spirits that which is good, that which is living. I pray understanding and counsel be revealed. I ask you for revelation and the mind of God to be made known. Open up our understanding and reveal truth in our inward man. This I pray according to the working of your mighty power. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree with that, somebody say amen and amen. Bless you, Sister Lisa, Sister Gloria. Thank you for being here. We're going to read our key verse for the podcast, and that's found in the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and verse 21. Here is what the scripture says: because the creature or creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. I want to tell you the reason Jesus died and rose, so creation can be free. Yes, people are a part of creation. Souls are a part of that. And that's the primary goal, that man would be saved. But in doing so, there would be salvation in everything created. The Bible says that the mountains can rejoice and the trees can clap their hands. The scripture says if we don't praise, rocks will cry out. And we think that's figurative, but I believe it's actually literal, because we're finding in quantum physics that everything in creation has sound waves in it. And when children of God are in authority, the earth is blessed. When children of the wicked one are in authority, there's a groan and a curse in the ground. So the earth needs you, and Jesus rose with power. Bless you, woman of God, Bridget Finley. God bless you all the way to our family, Heavenly Outpour family, and Apostle in Kentucky. The Lord bless you. We're excited, amen, for what the Lord is doing. Let's get straight to the word, but we're going to slide over to the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10. We're talking this week about resurrection power, and this is a special podcast because of the time we are in. Bless you, Brother Danny. Bless you, Sister Sarah. We're talking about resurrection power, and here is what verse 10 says, that I may know him, Paul the writer, of most of the New Testament is writing this revelation, and he's writing and giving instruction that there is more to know. No matter how much you know about God, there's more to know. No matter how much you've been revealed, we've only seen just a piece of the glacier underneath that God is going to reveal. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection through the fellowship of sufferings. And I don't like that. You may not like that either, but there is something called koinonia, through suffering, through attack, through affliction, through tribulation. The fellowship of suffering, the Bible says, being made conformable to his death. So we'll start verse 10. Repeat after me. Say, I want to know him. How many want to know the Lord? This word know is the Greek word gnosko. It means to learn, to gain knowledge of, to feel, to understand. But it is also an idiom of intimacy between a husband and a wife. So it's not knowing just like a friend. It's not just knowing like a brother or sister. It is knowing intimately God as a bride, because we are the bride of Christ. And God wants to know you and wants you to know him. The Bible says that Adam knew his wife. Abraham knew Sarah, and this knowledge is an intimacy that must happen, but must remain in consistency. We can't just know him years ago. And I want to encourage you listening, as I'm encouraging all of us here, blessing Sister Sarah watching from South Africa. God bless you, Sister Sarah. We will be in South Africa in just a few weeks, in the end of April, with our good friend Apostle Howard Pios in Secunda. So pray for us. We're coming to South Africa soon. The Lord bless you. I want to encourage you. This word know is to know intimately. And there must be consistency in our intimacy. I'm going to say that again. Bless you, Sister Eunice. There must be consistency in our intimacy with Jesus. It's not enough to have touched God 6 years ago, 10 years ago, even 6 months ago. It's too long. We've got to have a constant touch to keep our relationship with God fresh and alive. It's very similar to a marriage. Bless you, Sister V. It is likened, the Bible in Ephesians likens the relationship between God and the church to a husband and wife. And that we have to liken ourselves to the bride as he is the husband. And there must be consistency and intimacy. And intimacy isn't always just physical. It's emotional. It's mental. It's spiritual. It is actually physical in the covenant of a marriage only. The Bible says that's the only way it's legal. Everything else is sin. But I want to encourage you, because you are married to the Lord, because you are the bride of Christ, you have a right to be intimate with the Lord. Let's read Matthew. Here's what Matthew chapter number 7 says. In order to gain access into the kingdom of heaven, we must have intimacy. We must know the Lord. Bless you, Destiny. So good to see you. Brother Z, God bless you. Man of God, the Lord bless you and our spirit-filled family. Here's what Matthew 7:21 says. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So yes, we're saved by grace, and you're not saved by your works, but you're saved for a work. God didn't save you just to save you. Let me make that clear. You have a destiny, a call, and a purpose. And your salvation is so that you can fulfill an assignment. I'll repeat that. You are not saved by your works. It is by grace. But you are saved for a work. There is an assignment. There is a call. There is a purpose you have in the earth. He said, you must do the will of the Father in heaven. Verse 22, many will say in that day, what is that day? The day we come before the Lord. Each of us will stand before the Lord. And this is what confuses me about people in the earth, especially leaders and preachers who've lost the fear of the Lord, don't realize we're going to give an account for everything done in the body. And we have misunderstood grace. Romans says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, grace is supposed to empower us to live separately. And it doesn't mean we're perfect. Doesn't mean we do everything right. But our heart has to be pure. Our motives have to be right. We must strive in our heart to be holy as he is holy. And this has got to get in our heart, in our mind, in our will. Many years ago, I would look at my father's many in my youth, and this is when this new grace revelation was coming, and I'm a grace man. I believe in grace, but there was a misinterpretation of this grace, and people begin to abuse the grace of God. And I would look at my father, who's a man of integrity, who's a man of righteousness, who's a man of faith, and I would feel like he was old-fashioned, he was traditional, and he would tell me, son, don't let anything steal your Holy Ghost. Don't let anything steal your salvation. And I thought I was real revelatory in my youth, thinking that, well, I had a greater revelation than he did of grace, but not understanding the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there are these leaders and many people in the body that believe they can do what they want to do and have no fear of God, no reverence of the things of God, for we will give an account of things done in the body. Are you hearing me? I don't know why we're talking about this, but we must not abuse the grace of God. Many will say at the day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done wonderful works? Then I will profess to them, I never knew you. Same word, genuxo. I've never had intimacy with you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. This word iniquity is lawlessness. There must be a pursuit of holiness, a pursuit of integrity, a pursuit of righteousness, a pursuit of keeping your word. And it's challenging here's a challenging thing, trying to be to do what God told you to do and trying to build for the kingdom of God. But let me make it very clear. It's very challenging in this day to find people who keep their word. People who are men and women of integrity. You know, I had a pastor come to me some time ago and said, man, I love the prophetic, but I'm afraid of it. Every time I get around prophetic people, they're not good with money. They don't keep their word. Now, here's what he told me. He said, I love the prophetic, but how is it possible that someone can prophesy and not be good with money, not be good with their word? Be have the wrong motives, be a lack of integrity. I mean, I responded to him. I said, you know what? God is the judge of all men. I'm not the judge of men, but I've got to be discerning. But I'm going to tell you, a gift and a call will be without repentance. But ultimately, me using that gift for me and the wrong motive, it will catch up to me. What I sow, I will reap. And gifting is important. It'll open doors for you and bring you before kings, but character will keep you where your gift takes you. If there is no character, if we can't keep our word, if our motives are wrong, if we've got bad attitudes, if we can't govern our tongue, if we can't, I don't know why we're talking about this, but I need you to hear me by the Spirit. God is looking for a few good men and women that move with this pursuit. So to know God means to know him intimately. And when you know him intimately, it is his spirit and your spirit coming into oneness. That's what husband and wives should do on a regular basis, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, to become one in the spirit. It's not just a physical act. It's a union of two hearts becoming one, two spirits becoming one, two minds becoming one. And that is our job, that we become one with him. And what I think dies and what he thinks lives. What I want dies and what he wants lives. That I die in Christ and he raises. Go back to Philippians chapter 3. Verse number 10, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, here's what it says, that I may know him. I want to know him in an intimate way. I've got to pursue the knowledge of God, learn about him and pursue him. Here's what it says. My soul, the psalmist said, my soul longs for you as the deer pants after the water brook. That means you've got to get thirsty for Jesus. You've got to get hungry for Jesus. Now, let me give you this analogy. I'm going to move on from knowing, but we're never going to move on from knowing, but from this point. You know, have you ever went to a movie, and hopefully it was a godly movie with good things in it, praise the Lord. But you've ever went to the movies, and the old saints, you couldn't go to the theaters. You know, I grew up in a denomination, didn't, you know, come out and be separate. So we weren't allowed to go to movies as kids. But if you do go to a godly movie, and thank God for Angel Studios, Christian movies on the horizon, on the rise, and we're grateful for that. But if you did get to the movie, and you went to the movie before the dinner, you should always go to dinner before the movie, because once you get in that movie theater, you're going to smell that popcorn, help us Holy Ghost, and you're going to smell that butter, and you're going to look at those snacks, and you're going to start filling up on what we call junk food. And after you've sat and watched that movie, it's time for dinner. You're going to be full but not satisfied. I don't know if you've ever been full but not satisfied. You don't have an appetite, but you don't feel like you're satisfied. You're full on the popcorn and the bonbons and the juju beads. But I want to encourage you, we've got to be full on Jesus, on the word, on the presence, on the spirit. We've got to learn to circumcise our appetite. And how do we do that? We ask. I remember a point in my life saying, Lord, you said if I ask anything, and I still pray this, if I ask anything, I would receive it if I ask in faith. So Lord, make me hungry again. Make me thirsty again. Lord, take my thirst for anything that's not you. Take my hunger for things that are not. I had to pray this because the flesh doesn't want Jesus. The flesh wants television and wants video games and wants memes and wants, and nothing wrong with these everything now and again, but that's all it wants. It doesn't want the word. It doesn't want to stay up in the middle of the night and research scriptures and pray and prophesy and decree. The flesh just wants to be comfortable and convenient. But the Bible says, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. Zion is not Jerusalem. Zion is not Israel. It is a higher remnant that is called to worship and to pursue. Now, let me tell you, if you're listening to me, you're called to be Zion. You're called to go higher. So I'm going to encourage you, God wants to transform. That I may know him, then he's going to release something called the power of resurrection. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, when the Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. I need you to write this in the comment section. I need you to put a note to yourself. I need you to hit share. You're watching right now and share. I decree the Holy Ghost is about to come on us again and touch us again, and you're going to get power, ability, enabling virtue, anointing to do what you couldn't do before. I see the Lord breaking this cycle, and the thing you wanted to do, you didn't do, like Romans, but the thing that you did want to do, you found yourself doing. And now if I do the thing that I no longer want to do, it's no longer me, but sin working in me. What that means is you've got to separate that issue from who you are in Christ. Then you've got to invite the Spirit of God through the Holy Ghost to give you power. After, but you shall receive power. This word is dunamis, where you get the word dynamite. And this is still a practice that's in use even in today. When they're going to move a mountain, they don't grab a shovel mainly. When they're going to move a mountain, what they will do, they will hire a specialist, and he will put certain holes in, he'll drill into the mountain. Then he'll place TNT, dynamite, explosion in the mountain at certain points, and then he'll clear the area, and there'll be an explosion that is made to move mountains. I want to tell you, there's an explosive power in you that's called the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God on your life that wants to move that mountain of fear, that mountain of unbelief, that mountain of poverty, that mountain attacking your children. Yet it's too big for you. Yes, but it's not too big for God. But you shall receive dynamic power, explosive power, mountain moving power. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you, then you become something called the evidence. The witness is, yes, a testimony, and that's important. You must tell people about Jesus, but that's not all. The witness is the evidence. It's the proof positive. I want you to say to yourself, I am the evidence. You know, I was blind, but now I'm learning to see. I was angry, but now I'm being healed. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was bitter and I was broken, and now I'm changing into another man. See, I am the evidence. You want to know there's a God? Look at my life. Look at your life. You're not the man you used to be. You're not the woman you used to be. You are the evidence that God is working, and the same God that changed us then wants to change us now. We don't need to get stuck in the old us, stuck in this old way. Bless you, Brother Sluggo. So good to see you. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 says that we may know him and the power of something called the resurrection. The power of resurrection. This word resurrection is the word anastasis, which means to get up again. The power to get up again. I want to say this, the power of resurrection is the power to rise up again in any situation, in anything you're going through, though it may be difficult, though it may be impossible. Here is what the Bible says, resurrection power is the ability to stand up again, the ability to rise again. You may have gone through a battle, but God says you're going to rise again. You may have gone through a war, a time of opposition, a time of mental and emotional issues in your mind and in your marriage and in your children and in your finance, but don't you worry that you cannot keep the righteous down. Bless you, Annette. God says it's time to get up again. Here is what the book of Proverbs chapter 24 verse 16 says. The book of Proverbs chapter 24, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 16, it says, for a righteous man, male or female, woman, falls seven times but rises up again. I'm going to say it again. The righteous man is not righteous because they never have a setback, a drawback. They never shoot and not hit their target. They are righteous not because they never fall or never go through moments of going feeling low. What makes you righteous, what makes you just, what makes you holy, what makes you anointed, you fall but you get back up again. You're not righteous because you never fall. You're righteous because you don't stay down. You take a licking and you keep on ticking. You're in a battle, not with flesh and blood. But if God is in you, he cannot keep you down. It's like if you've ever been, I see a picture of a ball, of a beach ball, a very thick beach ball. And you were to take that beach ball in your pool and you were to push it down with all of your might. And you were to push it down and you could hold it for a little bit and you push it lower and lower. And the more you push it, the more there is a power trying to bring it back up again. And after a while, the further down it goes, it shoots back up like an arrow, pulling you backwards and eventually going to be released, and God is going to have you hit your target. He said a just man falls seven times but rises. A just man falls seven times but rises up again. This is the power of resurrection. It is supernatural getting up power, raising up power. And Ephesians tells us we rose with him. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. That means they fall and they stay there and they remain there. They never get up again. They never never ascend out of this moment. Now we all have those moments where we feel low, but I want to tell you it's time to get up again. Let me read you Ephesians chapter 5, 2, Ephesians 2 and verse number 5, Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. It says, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened or made us alive with Christ. By grace you are saved, verse 6, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. I'm going to read this again. Verse 6, even as he rose us up together. What does that mean? That means when he rose out of the grave, he brought you with him. That when he got up, he brought you up. This is the power of resurrection power. It's not singular that one man can get up, though he was one man. That when he got up, he brought all of hell with him, or he brought all of the grave empty. He didn't just raise up. He took the keys, according to Revelation 1 verse 18. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He bankrupted hell. this is resurrection power. It's not the ability for me to get up again. It's the ability for me to get up and bring all of the things around me that are dead with me. It's not just singular. It is corporate. It is generational. There's many people. He brought you up with him. And I'm not even, I hadn't been alive yet in the natural. But when he got up spiritually, he brought me up with him. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Not only did he raise me up, he sat me in a heavenly throne. He sat me at he's at the right hand of the majesty on high, and he invites you into authority. He invites you into power. He invites you into authority. Are you hearing me? Philippians 3 verse 10 says, Philippians 3, this resurrection power, that I might know him and the power of resurrection. I'm going to read Luke chapter 11, verse 26. Bible says there's a story of a rich man and a poor man. And the Bible says that the rich man lived for himself, never invested what God gave him. There was a poor man, the Bible says, who had the dogs lick his wounds. They both died, and one ended up in Abraham's bosom in a paradise, and the other ended up in hell, tormented. So for every preacher that is delusional, let me say this to you. Let me say, for every pimp that is delusional, you're pimping now. That means you're lying. You're prostituting the gospel. I'm going to say that you need to repent and come back to Jesus's side. Jesus said there's a hell. For every liar who's trying to take people to hell, and there is a hell and I'm not going. It's hot and I'm not going. My name and your name, if you're saved and full of the Holy Ghost, is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hell exists and I'm not going. For every liar that says there is no hell, And we're already in hell and everyone goes to heaven, you can live however. It's called a doctrine of devils. Jesus said there was a hell. I said, now you can say there's no hell, and Jesus can say there is a hell. I don't know about you, but I'm going to obey Jesus. A man can say what he wants, but there is a hell. It does exist. And Jesus preached about it multiple times. Multiple. Here is one of them. Let me just read to you Luke chapter 11. All right, let me read this to you. Luke chapter 11, I'm going to read this to you. And God wants us to realize that there is a power and a victory. I said, God wants us to realize there is a power and a victory. That there is an uncrossable chasm. There is an uncrossable chasm. And Jesus crossed the chasm. An uncrossable chasm. And this chasm, God wants to release victory and healing. I need you to repeat after me. Say, it's time to cross over. One more time, say, it's time to cross over. The Bible says there is an uncrossable chasm. Actually, Luke 16. All right, I'm in Luke 11, but Luke 16, we're going back there. Luke 16. Verse 26 is where they begin to describe in hell an uncrossable chasm. I'm going to go back to 19. Let me read this, Pastor. Go back with us. Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, did well. Nothing wrong with that, but he never gave. He put his trust in his money and not in the Lord. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angel into Abraham's bosom. I'm in Luke 16, right? Luke 16, verse 23. Actually, 22, it came to pass when the beggar died, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, but also the rich man died and was buried. And in hell, H-E-L-L, in hell, he lifted his eyes, being in torment. He saw afar off Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. This is Bible. It's in your Bible, in my Bible. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. So the Bible speaks of a place of torment and flame. I know it's it's in the word. I know people just want to wipe this thing out. You cannot do that. You don't have the power to make those decisions. Hear me by the Spirit. I'm tormented, the scripture says. Verse 25, and Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Remember, it's not wrong to receive good things, but are you doing good with what God gave you? And besides all this, verse 26, between us there is a gulf fixed. That word gulf is a chasm, an uncrossable bridge, an uncrossable gulf fixed, so that they would pass from hence to you. You cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come. So what we know about this place, there's a chasm there, and it's uncrossable. And all I want to let you know is Jesus was able to cross the chasm. Now, this is from Abraham's bosom to hell. And I want to tell you that when Jesus rose, he broke every power of hell. And he has now the keys. Let me read this to you as well. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation 1, just for your reference. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 18. He says, I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive. So he was dead and now he's alive. He went to the lower parts of the earth, and the scripture says, preached to the spirits in prison forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. So now Jesus has these keys. So those uncrossable chasms, those uncrossable gulfs, Jesus crossed the gulf. I want to tell you, resurrection power is the ability to cross chasms, to cross gulfs, to bring life where there was death, to bring peace where there was tribulation, to bring joy where there was torment and depression. God says there is something called resurrection power. I wanted to give that to you to remind you what Jesus did for you and I. Philippians 3 verse 10, that we would know him and the power of his resurrection, the ability to get up again through the fellowship of sufferings. I don't get any amens usually there when we preach this, because nobody wants to suffer. Suffering is the word pathamai, that which one suffers. Misfortune, calamity, affliction, sufferings of Christ, afflictions, endure, opposition, emotional, mental, physical, the root word pathos, what befalls one. So the enemy, see, suffering isn't to destroy you. Suffering is to take you closer to the cross. Let me just give you Romans chapter number 8, verse number 8. Bible says that we must reconsider our suffering. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 18. For I reconsider the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Where is God's glory in you? Where is his kingdom in you? Luke 17, 21. Where is Christ in you? Everything is in you, gone. But I've got to reconsider the suffering of the present time. The kingdom is not here. It's not there. It's inside of you. Colossians 1 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 verse 27 says, God is in you. He is inside of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants to make known the riches of the mystery to the nations, which is Christ in you. Romans 8, 18 again, you must reconsider sufferings. What does that mean, Apostle? You're not losing when you go through for God. You know, we can get this idea. We may talk about this tonight, that we're giving more than we're going to get, that God is never going to come through on what he promised. It's never going to change. There is a lie in the ear of every believer. And when you read the New Testament, they would suffer for Jesus and they would celebrate. I'll tell you again, they were beaten with many stripes, the book of Acts. The apostles, the ministers of the Lord, and they were preaching Jesus. They beat him with many stripes, and they said, don't preach this name again. And they went away rejoicing that they could suffer for the cause of Christ. Reconsider the suffering. Woe is me. It's never going to change. I'm upset. I'm mad. Here is what we must understand. In order for there to be creative power released, your thoughts and your emotions must merge. What you think must be the word, but then what you think must become what you feel. There must not be a divorce between your thinking and your feeling. Well, I think this, but I feel this. Your emotions have to come. Your emotion is a charge. It's an energeo. It's a power. And God said, I want your thoughts and your emotion to become one. Where is that in the word? Love the Lord. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says that we must love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul. That's our thoughts and our feelings and all of our mind. All three dimensions must be in synchronization. Then your actions change. But here's what happens. We get a word in our mind, and then the devil attacks our family, and then our emotions go crazy because our heart is not healed. Emotionally unstable, emotionally. Children of God, believers headed to heaven with their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, but cannot gird our emotions. Our emotions begin to rule us. Fear and doubt and anxiety and stress and worry and insecurity. And all these voices come, and the voice has a power and a job. It is to put a seed in our hearts that produce our feelings. The feelings of infirmity are very real, but you cannot stay in those emotions. Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Peter said, we can cast our burdens on him because he cares for us. You're not to carry those burdens. You're not to internalize those burdens. You're not to just bury them under the soil and just try to deal with them. You lay them at the feet of Jesus and you pour them out on the altar. And now your emotions are now in line with the word. And when your mind and your will and your heart and your emotions are in synchronization, the kingdom comes. Romans chapter 8, verse 18, the word reckon is the Greek word logizomai. It means to reconsider, logos, a word, but also reconsider by a revelation your suffering. I've got a wreath. It means to recount. This is what reckon means. It means to recount the thing, to count it over. It's like if we took a vote, and we got so many votes to go here or go there, and so many votes not to go, and they barely won by one vote. They say, I want to recount. It means to recount. To reckon means to reconsider. It means to go backwards and to rethink what you thought you went through. Because your mind is telling you one thing. The devil's telling you the wrong thing. But the Holy Ghost is trying to tell you, I'm going to use this for my glory. And everything you went through, I'm going to use. You must reconsider sufferings of something called the present time. The devil wants to keep you in the present time. He wants to keep you in the temporal time, not in the eternal time. But I'm sick and I'm tired and I'm frustrated. Yes, in these emotions, this is called the present time. Present is the word time, present now. And the word time is the word kairos, which is spirit time. So the enemy wants the earthly time to rule the heavenly time. But I declare the heavenly time is going to rule the earthly. I declare in your emotion, in your spirit, when you tie the word of God in your mind with your feelings, you now begin the creative process of your miracle. It's like a seed going, if you were to take a seed, if this bottle cap was a seed in my hand, and I put this seed into the ground and I planted it and I buried the seed. Now there's life in the seed. There's power in the seed, but the seed has to be buried and it has to die. The Bible says, John says a seed must fall into the ground and die. And when it dies in the earth, there's something in the ground that begins to cause what's in the seed to begin to multiply. And now the life of God begins to spring out. And now there's just a little stem. And then inside of the stem are some leaves, and inside of the leaves are some fruits, and inside of the fruits is the life-giving power. But it's in the power of a seed. The word, the Bible says, is incorruptible seed. John says the word of God is an incorruptible seed sown into the soil of our hearts. But we've got to break we've got to let the ground be soft enough so it can produce fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. The seed is good. Hear me, man of God. I pray for everyone I can, and I remember the feeling of being frustrated. I remember that. I'm not frustrated now. Not boasting. I'm just learning. I'm getting older. Praise the Lord. And I'm praying that I age like the Holy Ghost, that I get better. And I don't drink wine, but age like Holy Ghost wine. I get better with age, praise the Lord. I want to get wiser. I want to not stress. I want to be at peace. Do I trust God? That I trust God for people. I trust God for decisions. Where I lean on Him and not on my own ability. And I'm not, what stress produces stress. Fear produces fear. Anger produces anger. And no matter how much you love people, you've got to let people make their own decisions. You can't make somebody decide to serve God. You can't make somebody decide to love you and want to follow Jesus. You can't make somebody obey God, but you can love them and you can pray over them. Are you hearing me? Romans 8 verse 18, I must reconsider the suffering of the temporal moment, the present time, because they're not worthy to be compared with glory. Now, think about your suffering. If this bottle was suffering and everything you ever suffer in your life, and I want you to compare this bottle to a gallon, to an ocean of glory. Compare your bottle of suffering, your whatever you go through in your life, because the Bible says He bottles up your tears. So this is a good analogy. He bottles your tears and He writes your tears in a book. And if you would compare your life's suffering to the ocean of glory, you cannot compare what you're giving to what you're receiving. But you say, Apostle, how do I get there? It's got to be done here. It's got to be done here. And it's got to be done here. I'll say it again. It's got to be done here in your thinking. It's got to be done in your emotions, in your heart. And it's also got to be done in your words. Because every word releases a spirit. Every word releases a spirit. The suffering of the present time is building something. It's not to destroy you, but it is to make you better. Here is what James chapter number 1 tells us. James chapter 1 says that by the grace of God, verse 2, my brethren, I count it joy when I fall into diverse tests, temptations, afflictions, knowing the trying of my faith is working patience. See, here is James writing. You know, James says, I used to get mad like y'all. That's not good English, but I used to get mad like you all, like the people that James is writing to. And now I've learned to count it joy. Not that I enjoy it. I've determined the word, brethren, count it. Now the word count means to lead, to command, or to rule. Hai yego mahe, to lead, to command, to rule, to have power, to have authority, to have governing viscery, a chief, a leader. What does that mean? I now determined to go ahead of my circumstance and take joy. Now I rule my circumstance. What do you mean? If I will count the thing joy, I will be a chief over the tribulation before long. So I'm missing bread. Jesus in Matthew 4 is missing bread. He's got no bread. He's not eaten for 40 days. Then the Bible says after he's hungry. When Jesus is hungry is when the devil shows up. The devil says, turn the stones into bread. Matthew 4 verse 4. And Jesus said, I'm not living by bread. I'm living by the word. See, this is why later when he needs bread, he can turn the word into bread. He's not living by bread. He's living by word. So if you need bread, you can give away bread because you live by the word. If you live by bread, when you run out of bread, you're stuck. So he had no bread. He had no water. He said, turn the stones into bread. But he answered the devil. Verse 3 says, the devil came and tempted him. Said, if you're the son, turn the stones into bread. Verse 4, he responded, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I'm not living by bread, I'm living by a word. So later when there is no bread for 5,000 people, he could feed them because he learned, I'm not living by bread, I'm living by the word. Later when there was a storm, he learned, I can quiet the storm. I'm not living by the storm, I'm living by the word. Later when a man was blind, he said, I'm not living by natural eyesight, I can live by a word. If you're living by the word, it doesn't dictate your emotions. So go back to James chapter 1 as we conclude. Verse number 2 says, you count it joy when you fall into different kinds of tests. You determine it's joy. You make up your mind, I'm going to joy in this thing. Because joy equals power. Nehemiah 8:10, write that down. Verse 3, go to verse 3. Knowing this, you got to know something. When you go through something, you got to know something. If you don't know something, it's going to rule you. It's going to wreck you. It's going to move you up and down. You're going to get emotional, mental, physical. You're going to start using your words recklessly. You're going to get angry with God. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to want to give up on God. And it'll be so difficult to come out of that because the war is in your mind, in your emotion, and in your words. You got to know something when you go through something. Knowing this, the testing of your faith is building. This word patience is the word hupomone, steadfast, constancy, which is the word consistency, and endurance. It is a New Testament characteristic of a man who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose, his loyalty to faith, and piety or worship by even the greatest trials of suffering. Patience, steadfast, unwavering, unmoving, sustaining, enduring, consistency, an unwaveringness. This is what God needs in our mind. He says that the testing of the faith is building a consistency, but let patience, verse 4, have her perfect work. Telios, whole, her complete work, let patience finish. Years ago, God said, the son, let me finish. Don't fight it. Don't try to promote out of this when you're not ready. Don't try to zig and zag. Don't try to go left and right. Don't just try to manipulate and use your anointing. You just do what I said. Oh, this stuff is, it's sad to see people trying to use their gift and their natural resource to get them out of their process instead of just going through the process and humbling yourself so that God can promote you out. You can't keep trying to go lateral left and right. Somebody don't have your answer. Somebody don't have your money. Somebody don't have your miracle. God has your answer. God has your money. God has your miracle. Go to God. Settle down. He loves you. Settle yourself down. He loves you. He's not going to, what if I get passed by? I'm too old now. I'm too young. All these thoughts are undermining the ability, and you can hear it when you pray, when you talk, when you speak. You can see it. You can actually smell it. It's an aroma of fear and anxiety and stress, and it pollutes the pure streams of water. Doesn't mean we're not anointed. Doesn't mean God can still use us, but I'm mixing to the water my emotions. I'm mixing to the water my feelings of fear and anxiety and stress. But I've got to allow. He said, son, let me finish. Let me get this motives out of your heart. Let me settle you down. Get this settled and let me finish the perfect work in me. Then I will be perfect. When the work is done in me, then I become mature. I become steadfast and I will want nothing. Now you don't have wants. You'll be outside of wants. Now he moves you past needs to no longer wanting. Now you got to be careful what you want because it comes. You got to guard your desire because he said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And you got to make sure that your desires are nothing but God. Because if you get far enough in this thing, your desires start coming to you. You don't even ask for it. It just shows up. I heard a man of God preaching. Bless you, Pastor Matt. I heard a man of God preaching. This man of God said he was looking through a fishing book, like one of those outdoorsman books, like a book. He's looking through the book. He opens the pages and he's looking at the fishing rods. He's a fisherman. He loves the fish. He loves the hunt, and praise the Lord. And he's just looking through and he flips the place and there's a little flask. Now, Amen. You shouldn't need a flask in Jesus' name. We know what a flask is. It's a little container that's like metal, and they put a little vodka, you know, help them, Lord. They put a little gin in there, and they carry it in their pocket, and they take a little swig just to calm their nerve. You need to be delivered from that flask in Jesus' name. So he said, he was clear. I don't drink. But in my heart, I said, well, that's beautiful. He saw the design of the flask. He saw the initials, and he saw the silver engraving on there. And he said, wow, this is just beautiful. It's designed. He was clear. I don't drink. I was looking at the fishing rods. Within the next 2 weeks, someone came and brought him gifts, brought him a blessing, finances, brought him a basket. And in the basket was a flask with his initials on. I said, what in the world? And the person said, forgive me, pastor. If you need to rebuke me, rebuke me. But the Lord told me to buy you a flask. And I said, that's the man of God. I can't buy the flask. And he wouldn't leave me. For about a week, he kept bothering me. And I finally obeyed. And the pastor didn't rebuke him. He said, look, God bless you. I know your heart. And thank you for obeying God. Be careful what you want, because it will come when your heart is right. Be careful. You got to go. If you allow this thing to finish in you, and I'll tell you the same. I've seen things come to me that people just start giving, not working for, giving, because you're putting your heart on him, not the stuff. The stuff comes and goes. I'm out of time. Romans, Philippians chapter 3. Let me pray with you for the resurrection weekend. Philippians 3, verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection through the koinonia of suffering. There is a table before you, Psalms 23, that God prepares in the presence of your enemies. Psalms 23 says there is a table. That means there is a place of communion that arises. There's a place of fellowship that comes. There is a table that he prepares in the presence of your enemy. That when a tribulation arises, when persecution arises, God just took his napkin out and just made a table. And now he's got bread, he's got communion, he's got revelation, he's got miracles, he's got breakthrough waiting for you. The suffering and the tribulation is not to hurt you if you know God. It's to help you. It's to build you. It's to grow us. The suffering and is producing koinonia. I'm out of time. Verse number 10 of Philippians. Through the fellowship of suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That means spiritually we are dead. Our carnal man, but spiritually our natural man, our soul. But in the spirit we're alive. Here is what Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1. This is what we've been teaching all month. We're going to be concluding parts of this evening tonight. If ye then be risen, seek the things which are above. Repeat after me, say, I'm risen with him. When he got up, I got up. Since I'm risen, be risen. We broke this down a few weeks ago. If ye, the word ye is actually risen in Greek. It's translated ye. I don't know why, but it's actually if risen, be risen. You've got to get resurrection in your being. Go ahead and study that in your Strong's Concordance if you'd like. Since risen, be risen. Seek the things which are heavenly, which are before the foundation of the world, where Christ sits at the right hand. Seek his resurrected power. Verse number 2 says, set your affection on things that are heavenly, not earthly. We may touch on this tonight if God leads, that when your thought, the word, and your emotions merge, you begin the creative process. The creative miracle is starting to birth. When what you think and what you feel, this is the word affection. It is the Greek word which deals with thoughts and emotions. It's not just a thought. It's not just a feeling. It is the Greek word phroneo, understanding, wisdom, thinking, feeling, emotions, opinions. So now it goes from thoughts into ideologies, concepts, belief systems, but it's feelings and emotions. Set your affection on things above, not earthly. Verse number 3, we are dead. Physically, Nathaniel's dead because when he went to the cross, I went with him. I died. I'm dead physically. If you're a believer, your old man is dead, but Christ lives in you. But your life is hidden in Christ. Our last verse for today. Here is what the scripture says. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, when he was crucified, you were crucified as well. We are crucified with Christ. No longer I live. Nevertheless, I live. No, not I, but Christ lives in me. I have to decrease so he can increase. I've got to let go. I've got to get in the right concept, the right percept, the right revelation of who he is in me, that I'm dead, that when he went to the cross, he took me with him. But when he rose, he brought me with him. I'm dead. The old man is dead. What I want, what I will, what I think, what I feel, what I want. And when people start talking about what I want, what I feel, what I think, what I want, the dead man is rising up. And these emotions, these dead emotions, frustration, anger, fear, worry, anxiety, stress, bitterness, regret, these are dead emotions. They're dead. He nailed them to the cross. No longer I live. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who died for me and who loved me and gave himself. I'm not living anymore. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I need to pray with you. If you're listening under the sound of my voice, I'm going to ask you to lift your hands. Lord, I pray over every believer now that wherever they are, whatever they're going through, that you would give them grace and power, virtue and anointing. These are your men and these are your women. Strengthen them now for the purpose for which they've been created. Empower them to walk in the beauty of your holiness, to move by the power of your grace, and to be led by your Spirit. Direct them and lead them in that which is good and right and whole. Open doors for them no one can close, and allow your favor to abound in their life and on them. I pray miracles come now. I pray healing come now. I pray breakthrough come in their home, in their family, in their children. Because as you died and rose again on that third day, we died and we rose. Now we live with you, seated with heavenly places. Help us to receive this and to walk in it now, and you bring transformation. This I pray in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And if you agree, somebody say amen.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Global Prophetic Podcast with Apostle Nathaniel Leon. Stay up to date with our latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, YouTube, or by liking us on Facebook at This Rock International. Thank you for listening and have a blessed day.